Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cold Feet Podcast. Join our journey as we interview people in this cold plunge and we delve on the adventure of holistic health, athletic development, barefoot education, questioning the norm, and so much more. So dive in, grab a hot cocoa, and enjoy the episode.
Before we start our podcast episode, we would like to give a brief shout out to our podcast sponsors. Most shoes harm your mobility by over-restricting your foot's natural movement. With the Ursus from Barefoot Athletics, a shoe designed with minimal restrictions, your feet can move the way nature intended, so you can move with more confidence and strength in every step. Barefoot Shoes was founded by Chris Duffin, who attributes proper foot biomechanics as foundational to his success in squatting and deadlifting over 1,000 for reps. He created Barefoot Shoes to provide a minimal shoe designed for strength athletes. Go to barefoot.shoes/TBSR to check out the Ursus, and you can save 10% with the code TBSR10 to purchase the strongest minimalist shoe available. As a gym owner, I usually lift barefoot. When I can't lift barefoot, I love lifting in my barefoot shoes for both the health benefits of lifting barefoot and the increased ground feel I have in all my lifts. You don't need supplements to build muscle, lose fat, and get healthy, but the right ones can help. That's why over 350,000 fitness folk have chosen Legion. Well, that and their 100% natural products, their clinically effective ingredients and doses, and their no-hassle money-back guarantee. I've been following Michael Matthews, the CEO of Legion Athletics, journey since 2012, and I am super duper impressed with their supplements. They have a wide variety of everything from protein powders, pre-workouts, post-workouts, omega-3s, and bundles. And you can save a whooping 20% with the discount code HABER, H-A-B-E-R. So just log in to legionathletics.com, and the discount code is HABER for 20% off. Earthrunners are some of my favorite minimalist sandals. Earthrunners were created to rewild our lives in response to the typical modern domesticated lifestyle, which is causing numerous health, psychological, and social issues. Through rewilding and grounding, we aim to bring stronger, healthier, and more resilient individuals and communities back to our society. If you're not familiar with grounding is exposing your bare feet or body to the earth beneath you. And if you're unable to do that, you can ground with sandals like Earthrunners with their unique copper plug and copper laces. Grounding has a huge display of benefits such as reducing inflammation, improving sleep, and improving happiness. So you can check out Earthrunners at earthrunners.com, and you can use our discount code of TBSR10 to get 10% off. Okay, hello everyone and welcome to the Cold Feet Podcast. This is going to be a quick and fun Friday morning episode all about why you shouldn't be bodybuilding, especially if you want to be a performance athlete. Now, normally this is done in the ice bath, but it is very cold and rainy outside. So we're actually in the sauna right now, and then we are going to move to the ice bath after our epic 30-minute sauna session. This is something I do regularly. It's called the hot cold contrast. I try to incorporate twice a week on days when I'm not training rigorously. Your body looks at it as its own session. It is phenomenal for recovery, mental boost, just really sets up the weekend for success. So without further ado, we're going to dive into this solo episode. So something that happens a lot, because I work in the performance world, specifically in the high performance world, speaking professional athletes who are competing for their country or various federations, with many of them going to the Olympics, is the impact of bodybuilding on performance. And what I mean by that is that bodybuilding has made that the average gym person thinks that the body is just a bunch of muscles, and they don't tend to think about them moving in conjunction. So people will be like, yeah, I'm getting my curls, and I'm getting my shrugs, and I'm getting my upper chest, and do you have a leg extension machine in your gym, and all sorts of stuff, which once again, if you are training and not sitting on the couch all day, you're good. So keep that up. But when it comes to performance, you're probably wasting your time if you are just constantly isolating your muscles and beating around the bush with a bunch of different smaller muscular compound movements, which won't really tie together and carry over to your performance. So this is just, I don't know how long this episode will be, but this is just kind of a rant slash educational format to teach you why you shouldn't be bodybuilding. Now, I'm going to pretend I'm talking to a athlete of mine who plays national tackle football. He is a phenomenal, strong athlete, and he's been bodybuilding for many years, and he's strong, and he's dominant, and he's good at football. But what if I can take this strong, dominant athlete and make him even better? And I'll explain what that means. So, when you bodybuild, if you're consistently progressing in your weights, and you are slowly but surely adding weight to your bench press, adding weight to your squat, adding weight to your pull-up, your sprinting, you're definitely going to become more athletic. So this is not like a black-white bodybuilding is bad, only train in my style, hashtag I sell the equipment for $9.99. It's actually saying that if you're going to the gym and progressively loading, it's a good thing. But you have to understand the flaws of the modern bodybuilding. So number one, the elimination of functional movement and exploring movement patterns that are needed to perform on the field, such as backwards movements, lateral movements, diagonal movements, crossover movements. Bodybuilding very much tends to stay in the sagittal plane, you know, up, down, forward, straight, with very little rotation and very little, crossover steps, which is a fundamental step for anyone who wants to be athletic. It's the basic ability to change direction, specifically lateral movements like lateral lunges or lateral step-ups or even, you know, landmine skater squats. You'll never see them being done. And these are essential for lateral force production, which is what most sports are going to be doing. We're going to be moving laterally. So the elimination of movements is number one, and just the very approach, let's just squat, deadlift, press, those kind of movements. Number two, looking at the body as an isolator is a big problem, because when I sprint and when I run and when I throw, catch, tackle, my whole body's working in conjunction. So it's very nice that I'm doing crunches all day. But if I'm not training my core to be strong in every plane of motion in conjunction with my hips, like when I rotate, it's not just my spine, it's actually my ankle, knee, hip, spine, and thoracic spine, otherwise known as my scapula, and my shoulders and elbows and arms are usually doing something as well. So I want to train those movement patterns, and I can do all sorts of isolated machine exercises or even with a dumbbell or kettlebell, like a Russian twist, but it's not going to inherently teach my body to be a locomotive machine that constantly moves and excels when it comes to movement and performance. So we have to look at the athlete as a mover, and we always want his body or his or her body to be working in conjunction as much as possible, working together. That means the more compound movements, the better. That doesn't mean that every movement has to combine, you know, a squat into a shoulder press like a thruster, but it does mean that certain movements, I would say 80 to 90% of my movements, unless they're rehabilitation exercises, should be teaching a movement pattern as opposed to just focusing on progressing in strength or progressing in, power. Now, with that being said, so we spoke about isolation movements for compound movements, which is something I've battered on about in podcasts. We've spoken about ensuring that you're hitting multilinear development, backwards, forward, sideways, diagonal. Here's the biggest one, and this is something I haven't really spoken about on the podcast before. And when it comes to training, so bodybuilding and powerlifting are extremely responsible for always encouraging us to go up in weight, add weight to the bar. And that's true. There's something to the concept of progressive overload. Now, I'm a strong guy. Let's say I get to 150 kilo squat. In the level of sports that I play, I'm not a power lifter. I'm not an Olympic weightlifter. Is there an actual advantage to pushing my 150 kilo squat to 200 kilo? Is there an advantage of continuously trying to gain max strength instead of optimizing performance? Now, what would that look like? So if I can take that 150 kilo, lower it down to 100 and lift it explosively as possible, or jump with it, or, you know, drop under it and shoot up, all sorts of more athletic-based movements, or do it unilaterally, ensuring that, you know, I'm developing my body and not just in one limb at a time, but actually two. Is there an advantage to that? And the answer is yes. So there's just been this obsession over the era, even in the performance world, of constantly loading and loading and loading and loading? And the answer is yes, you want a base of strength. And I've seen hands-on, it's not peer-reviewed research, but it's me, and it's obviously been peer-reviewed around the world, that the stronger you are, the more potential you'll have. So you'll take fighters and boxers and jiu-jitsu fighters and all sorts of people, or even kids who just, you know, play lots of sports, you know, done a lot of resistance or skateboarding or just stuff where they're using their body at a, you know, high level of load and functional movement. They're not going to be the strongest athletes, but they're going to be phenomenal athletes. And the reason that is because even though we do like to say strength is the base of everything, meaning the more you strength train, the more potential you have to be an athlete. You're another day older. Strength is the base of everything. But it's not the only base, which means that we need to be incorporating a large variety of movements within both the gym and the field in order to actually become athletic. And the best training is sport-specific training, which aka is our sport. So if you want to get better at a certain sport, do that sport. That's going to give you that biggest bang for your buck with hand-in-hand athletic development. But so many athletes are in bodybuilding style regimens, which are only really developing strength and power without looking at the fundamentals of movement patterns. And I think even worse is that so many NARPs, non-athletic regular people, are doing bodybuilding regimens. I had a guy who comes into my gym and is like, you know, not in shape, not particularly strong, doesn't have a strong fundamental, probably can't get to a full squat yet, air squat. And like, he's like, your dumbbells aren't heavy enough for my shrugs. And I was just thinking like, okay, sorry, I'll sub out your shrugs for something else. But the reality is that people are just training incorrectly. People are focusing way too much on muscle isolation. Even non-athletes should be focusing more on function and performance. Things that happen all the time is that people are like, how much do you lift, bro? Or you're not big. You probably don't train at all. Since when did the goal of training be about how big your muscles and muscles are, your body is? That was never the goal of training. Take our ancestors, and I'm not talking a gajillion years ago, I'm talking a couple thousand years ago. Being big and bulky just meant you were a liability. It means that your body needed way more food in times of famine, and you probably would be eaten first. So the average person, I'm talking about athletes, even high-performance athletes, with the exception of stage aesthetic sports like bodybuilding or even powerlifting or, you know, performance or physique based things, bigger is not better. Leaner is better. And if you're looking to improve your function and performance, if that's for athleticism or day-to-day life, then you probably want to be focusing on getting a good base of strength, but focusing on max power output. So I would think a 100 kilo squat done powerfully with perfect form is going to be superior to, you know, a 160 kilo squat half parallel powerlifting style, unless you're a powerlifter, obviously. If your sport requires it, then do what you got to do. So we need, I don't like the term functional muscle because it's a little bit of bullshit. Like, what does that even mean? But we need functional muscle. We need a nice amount of muscle to function in our day-to-day life / sports. The more the merrier, within reason. So there's no point in walking around looking like an anatomy chart unless you're a competitive bodybuilder. And this applies even more so to teen athletes and youth athletes, who they should be focusing on building up their fundamental strength, mobility, and stability, and then eventually carrying it over to the performance. The fact they're doing these, you know, 12 exercise per day isolation muscle group is perhaps building the muscle, but is that the goal? No, the goal is movement patterns. The goal is performance, even for youth, and the goal should be them trying to dominate life, set up a healthy base for when they age, and dominate at their sport. And once again, these bodybuilding stuff are not necessary. So now, the dilemma. Sean, what if I want to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I also want to be performing well? And the answer is there's room for both, especially in sports that have long off seasons, such as tackle football, rugby. So, and both the sports I mentioned require size and strength. There is nothing wrong with adopting more of a bodybuilding approach in the off season. In fact, you could even cheat your way towards the preseason, you know, keeping the high volume. There's nothing wrong with training high volume if that's what you like. If you want to build muscle and strength, that is one of the better ways to do it. But it shouldn't come at the cost of function. So if you're too sore from doing your leg day to literally carry your groceries, you have a problem, sir. Okay. So we're talking like 6 to 9 exercises in any given workout, but make sure that they're compound movements and you're focusing on movement patterns and locomotion and not just how much can I squat, bro? How much can I hang clean, bro? Because a hang clean is not going to teach you how good you are at sports. Now, on that topic, moving on a little bit to the combine. So the NFL combine is notoriously outdated. In fact, I was in a meeting the other day with some researchers, and they were saying that the carryover of tryouts, specifically like the NFL combine, you know, the bench press, the sprint, the L drill, has less than a 10% carryover to what the athlete is actually capable of on the field, which is ridiculous because you're spending, I understand it's like a publicity event, but you're spending so much time and effort and money into testing useless attributes. So yes, if you can see that your athlete is progressing in this 400-meter dash over every 3 months, then you know your program is working. But a lot of these NFL athletes have never really combined with the NFL before. So if you're like a coach and you're testing people for a tryout or in a combine, what's the purpose if you don't know his metrics? How do I know that I'm actually dealing with someone who's improved if I don't know his initial metrics? So when I work with my athletes, I like giving a 1-3 rating system on a bunch of drills, trying to understand this base athletic potential and their willingness to grow and improve and what their base mechanics are. So it could be a, you know, triple jump, it could be a broad jump, it doesn't matter what it is, but kind of understanding, am I dealing with someone who has a strong athletic base, or am I dealing with someone who really, really needs to work and won't make it for our next, you know, European campaign or the Olympics or whatever it is. So that's my advice to coaches out there, and that's the way to go about it. Many ways I can incorporate it, this combining of just jumping back to the other topic, combining kind of like hypertrophy and athletic development, is I can A, combine them in one session, like French contrast training where I'm lifting heavy, supersetting it with, you know, explosive movements, you know, heavy squat followed by box jump or squat jump, heavy squat followed by light sled push, those kind of stuff. Or, and I can do, you know, athletic specific focus days. So I can do like 3-4 heavy gym days. Then I can isolate and do speed and agility as in their own. But you want to make sure that the gym stuff you're doing also has athletic components. So adding plenty of rotation in, adding a little bit of isolation work to the weaker areas, the hip flexors, the adductors, the external rotation, in addition to the regular compound movements, adding plenty of unilateral work, plenty of posterior train work, plenty of interior train work, specifically in the lower body, is going to give you a bigger bang for your buck. Now, this is kind of like a monthly rant podcast, so if you have any other questions or not sure, you know, about athletic development versus bodybuilding, please feel free to reach out. I do want to touch upon, because we're kind of, you know, battering on the bodybuilding concept, the concept of bodybuilding nutrition is also flawed, because macros / calories up, calories down is just looking at the body purely as a machine, calories in, calories out. But what if I want to perform and I don't care about a six-pack, which is probably 99% of athletes? Yes, everyone wants to look good for the beach, but the goal is always going to be performance. So I'm going to put myself in a slight surplus all the time to ensure that I can keep up with 11 sports I play a week, maximize my strength and performance, and yes, I'm going to pay the price. I'm not going to have a six-pack lean, but I'm strong, I'm powerful, I'm fast, I can beat most people in a full-out sprint, I can run a 10K barefoot, and I can just dominate at life. So who really cares about how lean you are? The obsession with getting lean has nothing, and body composition has nothing to do with the performance world, unless you're obese or carrying around tons of extra pounds. But if you're functioning and healthy and you're keeping up with the rigors of life in sport, don't obsess about nutrition. In fact, don't obsess about weight loss, even if you don't look like that perfect six-pack ab. I think I kind of covered the rant for the week. I'm going to send this out to my athletes who touch upon this topic. Peace out and have an amazing weekend. Hey, I'm Sean and I'm the Barefoot Athlete. And I want to welcome you on this 6-week Barefoot Transition course. 2.5 years ago, we started developing this course and we wanted it to be 12 months long. Why 12 months? Because we felt that if you just spent dozens of years in cushioned shoes, you can't transition that quickly. Realizing that 12 months is not sustainable, we shortened it to 6 weeks. And in these 6 weeks, you're gonna dive into foot, knee, ankle, hip, shoulder mobility. You're gonna dive into calf, ankle, knee, hip strengthening. You're gonna learn how to take care of your feet, how to release them with tons of soft tissue work. After the first phase is over, after the 3 weeks are done, your pain is gone, your knees, your hips, your feet are feeling great, ready to rumble, move on to the advanced stage. We learn how to land, we learn how to jump, You learn how to produce force and absorb force. Every single week is action-packed with play, fun, challenges to challenge yourself, your friends, your loved ones, and your community. Tons of strengthening, tons of footwork, and we can guarantee you that in 6 weeks' time, you will be much, much closer to being able to fully love life and live life in minimalist footwear. And the best part of it all, you're not limited to 6 weeks. So if you want to go back and repeat a phase, you're more than welcome to. So let's go, come along, and enjoy the course.